The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. Our next coach, his resume would take the rest of the year to read, but he is certainly a Hall of Fame coach. He coached the national championship at Alabama. He was also the head coach at Texas A&M in the 60s, where, of course, he played as one of the Junction Boys. And not only that, he was a trustee at Texas A&M 10 years ago and was always considered to be one of the leading proponents and most influential people involved with A&M joining the Southeastern Conference. Coach Dean Stallings joins us. Coach, first of all, how are you? It's great to hear your voice, and good afternoon.
Well, I'm doing fine, and just a little, this is the day that Johnny passed away, and you were always extremely kind to Johnny, and that's one of the reasons I always had an appreciation for you, that he was a joy of my life, but he's in heaven now, and so he's better off. I understand that, but I still miss him.
Well, Coach, I'm glad you brought him up, because anyone who ever had the opportunity to encounter him, and I consider myself very fortunate, was moved by him, will never forget him, and always loved him. And I'm so glad you brought that out, because I'll never forget sitting in the press box on January 1st, 1993, after having seen Johnny in the locker room. And I've never seen a happier young man in my life when he got to watch you carry off the field as a national champion.
Yeah, but what a joy it was. And we had just a little small room that when that game was over, where I was able to visit with Johnny, and he looked at me and he said, "Good job, Bob." So anyway, I remember that extremely well.
I bet you do. Well, Coach, thanks so much for joining us, and I think we all want to hear your views, having played that role 10 years ago and now watching it as an Aggie, seeing the Longhorns about to join the SEC.
Well, if I had my rathers, which I don't, I'd rather that A&M be the only school in the SEC. But back when Texas A&M was trying to get in the SEC, I really wanted that to happen. So I can't be worry about what's happening in Texas and Oklahoma, because they're doing what I wanted to happen, and I think they'll be a great asset. It's all about money. I understand that, but they both have outstanding programs, and it'll be fun to watch them, and maybe A&M and Texas will be able to play again somewhere along the line.
Yeah, that's a game a lot of folks have wanted. I know it's been a few years since you coached that game, but I'm sure the feeling and the memory never changes, does it?
Right, and that's back in those days, and we're talking about a long time ago, we always played that game on Thanksgiving. And I remember we beat the University of Texas in Memorial Stadium, first time that the Aggies had ever won in that particular stadium. And we got a day off from school and as a result of that. So Ruth Ann and I got married right after that game, so we had a day off. So anyway, I remember that very well.
Coach, I'm also interested in your view, and I think everyone knows you, who knows you, knows your view of college sports and how it's changed, and is it ever changing by the hour? Before we even get to the college football conference part of it, I'm curious your thoughts on players now profiting. Coach Stallings, Nick Saban said not more than 2 weeks ago that his quarterback, who has not started a game, could be making as much as $1 million a year from this name, image, and likeness.
Yeah. I want good things to happen to the players, no question about that. But we got to remember, they go to college for an education. And when they're provided an opportunity to go to college for free, and the ability to be able to compete on Saturdays and various times and be able to be associated with an outstanding program, I think I'm not saying it was enough, but I'm saying that was a big deal. And I personally hate to see money get involved. Somewhere along the line, it's going to cause hard feelings. If somebody makes a good run and he gets some kind of bonus, but somebody has to make a block for him to provide that good run to happen. And somewhere along the line, I think it's going to create some hard feelings. I want the player to be well. The player receives, when you talk about the various things that they receive, they do pretty good when they get a scholarship and Pell Grants and other things. So that's not like it was when I went to school where you got $10 a month laundry money.
Coach, you've had to deal with a lot of things in a locker room wherever you've been in your career, but this is a little bit new. How does a head football coach and your staff deal with the potential issues that could arise? And I think they're all pretty self-evident.
I'm sort of glad I'm not coaching right now, because I don't really know how I would deal with it. You want the player to be compensated, and he is. You want him to get as much as he can, but you got to realize that there are a whole lot more sports than just football. And the eyes of the court, an athlete is an athlete. He's a student athlete. If you do one thing for one sport, you got to do it for all of them, men's and women's and everything else. So I think it's going to hurt the athletic programs at a lot of these universities.
Coach, let me get to where we are, and whenever A&M, whenever Texas and Oklahoma get into this league, whether it's in 2 years or 4 years or whenever, it's still going to create, it already has created what many are describing as super conferences, where if you're not at the very top, you're going to really struggle. I know you've coached at Alabama, you coach at A&M. These are not exactly minor institutions here, but what are your thoughts on what is happening right now in intercollegiate athletics?
Well, I think that the rich are going to get richer and the poor are going to get poorer. I feel sorry for the teams and the Big Eight that are not affiliated with the conference now. They're not going to have near the prestige that they had when they had Texas and Oklahoma in it. Somewhere along the line, it's about money. It's how much money you can generate. And I think that's the reason. They may say otherwise, but get right down to it. I think that's the reason that Texas and Oklahoma elected to get into the SEC. I do not think that money was what was the driving force to get Texas A&M in it. I think the driving force was they had been playing second fiddle to the University of Texas for a long time. Now they had an opportunity to be in a conference by them of their own again, not competing week in and week out, recruiting against the University of Texas. So I don't think money was a factor in A&M going into the conference. I definitely think it was money was a factor in Oklahoma and Texas going in.
Coach, do you think in a way it was the success of A&M and the SEC that the folks in Austin watched and said, you know what, we're not doing very well. A&M is, so let's do what they did.
I think that's right. And the years and years ago, there was some discussion about maybe A&M and Arkansas, A&M and Oklahoma and Texas getting into another league. I don't think it ever got anything beyond just talking about it. But I think it's going to make for a good conference, a good league, and who's going to play who remains to be seen. I just hope that A&M and Texas is able to play against each other every year.
Coach, I'm not trying to get you in trouble with this next question, but it wouldn't be the first time I've tried to get you in trouble. But the question is, it seems like everyone dislikes Texas. We've heard from Arkansas fans and Missouri fans and obviously Aggies and Nebraska fans. You've dealt with this program a great deal of your life, having played at A&M and coached at A&M and watched them from a distance, even at Alabama, and certainly you were close to them when you were a Cowboys assistant under Tom Landry. What is there about this school that everybody dislikes?
Well, when Darrell Royal was there, and those were the years when I was coaching, they just did a better job than the rest of us in recruiting and playing and everything else. So we all was sort of falling behind the University of Texas. I can't remember. I'm sure we did somewhere along the line, but I can't remember beating the University of Texas out of a good football player in the state of Texas. In the state of Texas, most high school youngsters wanted to go to the University of Texas. Now, you got to realize A&M was a military school, no co-eds, and we were a little bit of a disadvantage as far as recruiting, but we were always playing second fiddle to the University of Texas.
And yeah, in fairness, you were also the head coach at A&M at the height of the Vietnam War, which made things even more complicated.
That's right, and people loved A&M. There's no question about that, but they did not want to be obligate themselves to 4 years in the war against Vietnam. That just was not something that the high school senior wanted to do. When he would come to visit A&M, he really liked it. But when he would get back home and his teammates and would say, well, you know, there are no co-eds down there, and you got to make a commitment to the service, that just was made it a very difficult time to recruit. But I'll say this, a great, great majority the players that I coached at A&M graduated. And that's what we would go to school for. We'd go to school for an education. And I'm extremely proud. In fact, I talked to a couple of my A&M players today. They called about Johnny. And so I had a good relationship with the player at A&M, even though we didn't win as many games as I would like to have won.
Coach, I have so many other questions, but I can't get away from Johnny for a second on this day of all days. And I know some people may have heard you talk about him in the past, but I would like to ask you about that because the story that you have told to us and others about learning of his challenges and your reaction, I think is really one of the most poignant things that I have ever heard. And I know so many other people out there struggle, with difficulties and are challenged by it. But as we reflect on him on this day of all days, could you go back when you discovered that Johnny was just not like every other young boy on the street?
Paul, let me say this, first of all, that the thing that I felt like was the worst thing that ever happened in my life turned out to be the best. My life wouldn't have been nearly as rich, not even close, if it hadn't for the fact that I had the privilege of raising a child that had special needs. Now, when he was born, I didn't think that way. And in fact, I prayed to God to change Johnny, but he changed me. Johnny stayed the way he was, and I just sort of fell in love with Johnny. But the day that he was born, I can remember just like it was yesterday. I was talking to the doctor in the hall, and I said, "Doctor so and so, anything wrong with my baby?" And everybody's got their children except Ruth Ann. They hadn't brought Johnny to Ruth Ann, and he said, "Yes," said, I think that baby's a mongoloid. We don't even use that word anymore. And when he said that, I drew back to hit him. That was just my reaction. We were there in the hospital, and I drew back to hit him. I passed out, colder than a wedge. And so anyway, that was my introduction, really, to Johnny. But like I say, my life wouldn't have been nearly as rich if it wasn't for the fact that we had the privilege of raising a child with special needs.
Well, Coach, we remember him on this day, and we also will never forget what you have done for so many who have had similar challenges. The amount of money your foundation has raised is incalculable, and I know it continues to this day. Thank you so much for sharing those memories, and we look forward to seeing and talking to you very, very soon.
Well, now, Paul, before we get through, tell me, how's your wife doing?
She is doing great.
She was always very kind, and I always enjoyed visiting with her.
Well, she, I have the hardest time whenever people don't remember this, but I used to be a newspaper columnist, and every once in a while, Coach, I might find some fault with a plate selection of yours, and she didn't like it one bit when I dared to criticize you.
Well, you tell her that. I appreciate that. I knew I liked her for some reason, but maybe that was a reason. But anyway, she was always extremely kind, and you were too. You were always fair with me, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I can't tell you how pleased and proud I am of your success with your radio show. It's all over the country now.
Well, Coach, I'll say one more thing before you go. I've had a lot of scary encounters in my career, but I don't think I've ever been more concerned when during one minor controversy during your tenure, I got a letter from Ruth Ann Stallings exercising me. When I put that letter down, I felt like I had seen my life go through my eyes.
Well, she didn't tell me anything about it until it was over. But you know how these women are. They don't like anybody to be critical of their husband. But you were just telling the truth, and sometimes we don't like that.
Well, I'm glad we're both able to laugh at it many years later. Coach, all the best to her and your family on this day that we remember Johnny and so many other people who have overcome challenges. You be well, and I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Paul, it's always a joy to visit with you, and congratulations on your successes that you've had in your new show.
Thank you so much, Coach. Coach Gene Stallings, the legendary coach, joining us from out in Texas, and we will take a short break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And there's some breaking news out of LSU, and sadly, it is not good at all. According to the LSU Twitter page, LSU quarterback Miles Brennan has suffered a left arm injury that will require surgery. His timeline is TBD. The school officially is calling it severe. Others, including Brody Miller from The Athletic, is reporting at this hour that he has severely injured his left arm. There's a lot of speculation on what that means, but what it means most of all is that the competition down there has changed dramatically. Miles Brennan was the starter a year ago, was hurt. It hurt LSU's cadence. And certainly now Johnson looks like he will be the starter for the first game. But that is a tremendous blow for a program that began last year's conference play with a similar type injury. And it is a it will be very interesting to see. Certainly, you know, they have two good quarterbacks, but the fact that they no longer have this competition with somebody with great experience is a big deal. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Ricky is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Ricky. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? It's been a while.
It has been great to have you back.
Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear about Miles Brennan, because he's a Mississippi boy.
He sure is.
And I hate to hear that, but you know, I wonder, you know, you know, this is what this transport pool, this, you know, it, this thing is now. T.J. Finley is gone, so he could have been next in line, maybe.
Yeah, give me one second here. According to The Athletic, he broke the humerus bone in his left arm. Ed Orgeron has just issued a statement, excuse me, saying his timeline is to be determined. Now, I am certainly not a orthopedic surgeon here, but I think it's pretty easy to figure out, Ricky, that that is an injury that will take considerable time to heal. So
yeah,
he's not going to be a factor anytime soon.
Right. I think it's pretty close to probably a season in this.
I always hate to say that with the advancement of sports medicine, but we're not going to see him for a while.
But the humerus bone, I mean, wow.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah. But I heard you talk to Gene Stallings, and I guess I'm an old head too, you know. But I do think that the NIL, I think it's going to play a big role with Texas and Oklahoma, with all the money that Texas got. I think it's going to take away some of the recruiting from the schools like State and Missouri and Vanderbilt. I think we're going to get squeezed out, Paul. That's just my opinion.
Ricky,
I don't know.
Nobody wants to say that, but I think you're right. I think the middle of the pack, and I'm being charitable here, are really going to be in trouble, and there's no solution for it. This is not something you can go to court or go to the NCAA.
Right.
And by the way, it was already difficult.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, we had to compete with the Alabamas every week, every year, and now we're gonna have to compete with Oklahoma and Texas. And even though Texas hadn't, you know, won a lot of games, but they're still a national brand, though.
And Texas is the type of school that will benefit from the NIL.
Right. That's my point. That's exactly what I was talking about, because you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to win a national championship.
But you know, Ricky, Texas's problem, Texas reminds me a little bit of Tennessee in that most of their problems have been self-inflicted. They had a good coach. Tennessee had Philip Fulmer. They had Mack Brown. It wasn't enough. And they have never been able to replace either coach. They still have the name, they still have the facilities, they have the fan base, there's not a reason in the world why either school shouldn't be successful.
Right, that's true. You know, but they kind of remind me of LSU before they won the national championship. I mean, they spit out NFL talent.
Oh, well, yeah, no, nobody. I mean, other than Alabama, nobody spit out talent like LSU has.
But for some reason, so I think a lot of it has to do with coaching and.
We didn't realize this, Ricky. We didn't realize how truly moronic Les Miles was as the head coach. I mean, it took a while for everybody to figure that out.
It is coaching and. But also, your fan base or your boosters or whatever, if they're too impatient, just like Texas, they get too impatient, and you know, it kind of reminds me of my alma mater at Jackson State. They kept throwing out, you know, kicking out coaches. They don't even last a year. You know, I mean, you got to be somewhere down the line. You got to give them a chance to build a program.
You are so correct. Ricky, great to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. We are heading to the break. Really great hour here with Coach Stallings. And more of your phone calls continue right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and Paul is up next in Arkansas. Paul, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Great show. And I love that you're bringing back some of the voices from history. Wouldn't you love to have Frank Broyles or Keith Jackson or Munson on, interview them and see their thoughts on this, how it's evolved?
No, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things about this job that's fun and enjoyable, but I could talk to Roy Kramer Friday night or Gene Stallings. I mean, maybe because I've covered these guys at such various points of my career, but they're so rich in their stories and their memory.
Yeah, and I think people have danced around it. Maybe it was Herb Spruce Street, kind of that string of guests you had last week. But, you know, between the payout for the athletes, the portal, the one-and-done scenario, it does seem like 3 years out, we are looking at a pyramid of 30, 40, 50, whatever that top is that wants money, and they're going to be a front-loading the NFL. And then there's kind of that mid-tier, and maybe that's like a Wisconsin
Let's be honest. If you're in this bubble right now, and what I mean by that is if you're coaching, participating, or even doing what we do here, don't act surprised, okay? don't give me I'm a traditionalist speech, and I really don't like where we're going. We're all part of the same conversation here. And there are some very specific reasons. You heard Coach Stallings talk about the money. Well, the money goes in many different directions.
Oh no, I completely. I think the change is. You know, you think I completely agree with you. The Purdue's, the Vandy's, Georgia Tech's. You know, they're going to. What if they say, hey, look, we're going to focus on academics, student athlete, etc. And they say, yeah, we can't keep up with the facilities. I can see that happening.
I think it's going to, and because it's fruitless. I'll leave Vanderbilt to others, but if you're a Duke or Boston College or Northwestern, you have pockets of success, but I don't think you have any chance if you look down the road 10 years.
No, it's the arms race, isn't it, with Russia? You know, it's just how do you keep up and keep spending on it?
And by the way, nobody's even trying to camouflage it anymore. It's not like, well, you know, the most important thing are the student athletes. It's just how much are we making off this next deal?
Right. Well, thanks, Paul. Well, great coverage of this.
Thank you very much.
A woo pig, by the way.
Good to hear from you. Thanks. Can't wait to get the season going. Bob is in Cincinnati. Hello, Bob.
Paul, thank you. It's a privilege to talk to you. You know, your last comment on Vanderbilt, I don't think there's an SEC fan. I'm a Kentucky guy. I've had more fun on Vanderbilt weekends in Nashville. It's a great place to go watch a football game. And that's why you're right. The opposing team often outnumbers. I wanted to ask you, is it time for a new book? My conference is really better.
You know, I have this poster up in our house. I walked by it this morning of that book, which came out 6 years ago or 7 years ago. My conference can beat your conference. Why the SEC stool rules college football? And I got so much blowback from the arrogance of that. And you know, what I wrote back in 2014 is kid stuff compared to where we are today.
You know, I'm curious. How is it for you to cover this now as a radio television personality versus if you were a writer? How is this? I mean, it's interesting. You're able to interview so many writers, But if you were still on the beat, what would your work day be like?
It would be endless because, you know, in all candor, some of the things you hear now in this seat, you don't have to react to. And I'll save that for the book and what I mean by that statement. But I have found this to be one of the most exciting stories I've ever been around. But as a writer, here's the problem with that field at the moment, if I could opine on my former job. It's not what it once was, where you had the time and the ability to cultivate sources and make sure you really had the story correctly. Now, and I know I'm going to sound like a curmudgeon here, but you know, you have that responsibility, but you also have the social media responsibility, which I would argue gets in the way of great reporting.
Well, that's interesting.
And by the way, there's a great need for social interaction if you're in the media. But I love the great books that come out about what really happened. Now, the problem is they don't come out for 6 months or a year or 10 years, or maybe in Lincoln's case, 170 years. But that's a whole nother conversation. But I know that the people covering the story are working around the clock, because it is endless, and because everyone has a voracious appetite for what is next.
Well, I love the call much earlier for a commission to explore the underpinnings and the foundation of all this revolt. I hope you would be on it.
Well, I would love to be. And Bob, I think that is fascinating. I think we have a reasonable idea of what happened. I think these two schools started a dialogue. I think there were a lot of legal gymnastics done, because everyone knows what these contracts say. And I've had some pretty ridiculous conversations before with people trying to hire me, where you couldn't say very much. I mean, it's laughable, but it's you know, those were minor, those were kid stuff compared to what Texas and Oklahoma were going through. So I'm sure they went through legal representation, who called legal representation, and finally the main parties were brought in. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.